Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
We got Jeff Chedea in studio. We like to keep you on your toes. You don't know if it's going to be me in here. You don't know if it's going to be Steven in here. It's rarely both of us anymore, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're stuck staring at me today. What's up, man?
You're like Wilbon and Kornheiser. It's like one's in Chicago, one's in Phoenix, one's in D.C.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you make it work, though.
We're bouncing around. But yeah, it's a team effort. What are you up to, man? What's going on?
Oh, man. Scoring to week five. That's what's going on. Season is flying by.
Yeah.
Already in October.
Yeah. The one thing about the 17-game schedule, my biggest gripe with is that we don't get to break things up into quarters anymore. You know, it's supposed to be like the first quarter of the season's over, you know, but that's where we're at. I mean,
well, in a weird way, it makes me feel like when, you know, I was in Cincinnati a couple weeks ago and we were talking about them being 0-2 and people were panicking, Super Bowl hangover, and I was like, that team's too talented to not be a contender because there's too many games.
Yeah.
Right? Too many opportunities to get back into it. So, but it is a fun season, though. I mean, I feel like, you know, I do this column for our website every week and called The First Read, and we were talking about just the amount of parity and that there was a record set this past weekend or a record tied for most one score games in the fourth quarter. And there were, of the 15 games played before Monday night, 14 all had one score differentials in the fourth quarter, except only one being the Chiefs game, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Which is nuts. That just speaks to the parity.
Yeah.
Damn right.
Marco with his Chiefs t-shirt on.
That's why anytime there's a dunk, that's why Marco, you know,
he made some money.
Did you?
No. I had him at minus 11.
Okay.
Yeah, he bought
back door.
He wanted more points, you know, for the Chiefs. Oh. You know, so he bought it up.
Never bet your heart.
Yeah.
Isn't that the general rule of gambling?
And never take a double digit favorite in the NFL. I mean, I think that's kind of one of the things you're learning, you know. It's the Red Zone channel has been built for this. I mean, you know, and they call it the witching hour every time it comes down to the fourth quarter. And when you do have the Red Zone and you watch all these games, it does like, to me, game management has become more important in the league than it maybe ever has because of what you just mentioned. When the margins are that thin, it's like a decision you make when to go for it, when not to go for it, how to manage the clock and all that stuff just becomes so much more magnified.
Oh, yeah, without question. And it's the talent is so equal. The decisions you make are so critical. The errors you make are so substantial that those things sway. I mean, look at the Chiefs game on Sunday night. They Bucks fumble the kickoff, give up a strip sack in the first half. You're down 14 points. It just totally changes the outcome of the game that you end up losing by 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you.
Yeah, what if they don't fumble the kickoff and Tom Brady drives down and they score a touchdown and the Chiefs are playing from behind, which they never did the entire game?
Yeah,
how different is it?
Or the week before where Sky Moore drops a punt and Chiefs are defending a short field and you're down 7-0 and it's. So, yeah, I mean, that stuff, like the ability not just to manage games but to prepare your team to be able to handle situations well and not blow off possessions and give stuff away is just – it's just – this season is going to be so crazy. The last postseason, the last seven playoff games, including the Super Bowl, were all decided by one score. Like, it would not shock me to see this be a theme throughout this entire year.
What did you think of the Ravens going for it?
Another example, right?
You know, I mean, and then Lamar Jackson compounds it by throwing a pick in the end zone, because then you lose the benefit that, you know, the Bills would have got the ball at, what, the 3-yard line or whatever they were. Instead, mm-hmm. they get it at the 20 because
yeah.
he throws a pick. But what did you think of the decision to go for there? Because they could have kicked it and gone up 3 in what was kind of turning into a little bit of a slugfest at that time.
Well, I understand John Harbaugh's mindset. I think he made the right call, because that defense had given up a 17-point lead 2 weeks earlier against Miami.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They were up 17 in that game, and now Buffalo had tied the game up at 20. And so you're thinking, I've got Lamar Jackson. I've got a guy who has won an MVP, great chance to win a second one this year. We're this close. We're at home. 3 points is probably not going to be enough to stop Josh Allen from going down and winning this game the way this game is going. And so I understand it, and you try to make a play with your quarterback. I think if that's Patrick Mahomes, if it's Justin Herbert or Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, you want those guys doing the same stuff in those situations. It didn't work out for him, but I think you'd rather die being aggressive, which has been his mindset, Harbaugh's mindset, for a long time here with the analytics, than death by 1,000 paper cuts.
How much does that Bills win tell you about them, especially considering how many injuries they're dealing with and all that right now?
I mean, they're still the best team to me. I know Philadelphia is undefeated, and they're playing lights out, but I just feel like their motivation to win a championship this year is head and shoulders above everybody else's. I just think they've been heartbroken enough. They've built their roster in such a way. Even that loss to Miami, where they had twice as many yards as Miami, they had twice as much time of possession as Miami in that game. You know, a couple things break right from there, and they end up winning that game. To me, they're a team that should win 13, 14 games. They've got all the reasons in the world to make it happen. And that game was one more example of that. I just think that this team is not going to be denied. And if they are denied, it's going to be because of reasons that go beyond just their play on the field.
So 4 games into the season, it doesn't tell you everything, but you start to get like a picture of things. The Chiefs have the number 2 scoring offense in the NFL through 4 games. First of all, considering, just like if you didn't know that already, would that surprise you to hear that? Or is your perception that the offense has been that good through 4 games?
I think it's been up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And so their ups have been, their highs have been Arizona and Sunday night.
Two games of over 40 points.
Two games over 40, and their lows have been, you know, 2 games where they had, 4 touchdowns. And so I think it's probably going to be like that a little bit. Now, this pass game was a surprise in the way that they were able to attack Tampa's run defense, which to me was the whole key of the game. And now maybe you can say, you know, whatever, all this hurricane stuff and moving to Miami. I don't buy that. I think that they had all their players on the field. All their key players were there. They came to play. Brady was playing. It just – the Chiefs, it felt like it was a more personal game for them.
Yeah,
just the way the vibe of it.
Yeah, yep.
The way they reacted to touchdowns and big plays, and it felt like Tampa was a step slow, not just on the field but schematically.
And it's easy to see why the motivation was there for two different reasons.
Yeah.
They just got humiliated against the Colts,
mm-hmm.
and they got called out by Shaq Barrett, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and he picked at a scab that still hasn't fully healed. Might not ever for some of those guys, you know?
Yeah, and so if I'm a Chiefs fan, what I hope Andy Reid takes away from that game is that's the recipe. You know, as mm-hmm. much as you want to design stuff and be able to throw the football all over the yard, when you're running the football the way they ran it in that game and you're running downhill, that's way harder on a defense than a perfectly schemed up 60-yard touchdown pass.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're taking their will. You know, that mm-hmm. that is where Tampa Bay makes their money. That's what they pride themselves on, is being tougher, being stronger, bullying you. And when you're getting bullied, it's very humbling. I mean, you saw them on their heels. Everything opened up because of that. The quick game, the play action, all that stuff was available because Tampa Bay came into that game thinking we're just going to dominate you at the line of scrimmage, and now we're not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And mm-hmm. so that was, to me, was the most impressive thing, just the physicality they came with. Had a lot of discussions on this show and other shows about why aren't the Chiefs better in short yarder situations and, you know, all these things. Because they don't practice that stuff in the same with the same fervor that they do the big, the wide open passing game stuff. But when they obviously came in the last week saying, we've been called out, we've been challenged, we are going to run the football in this game. And hats off to them, they did it. They beat the crap out of them.
Can they keep doing that? Will they keep doing that? Or is it the kind of thing where, okay, we made our point, now let's get back to being who we are?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's always been the knock on Andy, that he gets impatient with that and tends to fall back onto wanting to throw the football more, you know, to go back to the AFC Championship game. You know, that was a big factor in their second half struggles. And so they can do it. I think they should do more of it. It should be more balanced just because their receivers, I mean, even in that game, the receivers made a couple plays, but you look at the numbers and it was whatever. Juju had 50 yards receiving and Valdes-Scantling had 60 yards receiving. And, you know, I think all combined, their top four receivers, wide receivers, had like 120 yards between them or 130 yards between them. And so you can open up a defense by throwing the ball deep and challenging a defense down the field, but you can also open it up just by banging away at them and establishing the run. And just he took a lot of pressure off his offensive line and his quarterback in that game. They played great as the offensive line, but they moved the pocket a lot. Mm-hmm. Quick game was a big part of what they wanted to do. They got Edwards-Helaire involved out of the backfield. You know, that stuff helps your offensive line just as much. Running downhill helps your offensive line. And so I think, if anything, that should be a big part of what they do moving forward.
What do you think of this? I've heard a couple guys on our show today, Valerio and Bo Richter, both saying that they think that Pacheco is pushing Clyde Edwards-Helaire a little bit, and that's causing him to play better. Do you see that? Do you feel like there's a running back competition that's mutually beneficial right now for this team? Or is what they're doing just a product of the offensive line performing?
Personally, I think the downhill stuff fits more what Pacheco does. Mm-hmm. And you saw in that game. I mean, there were some people who were – I kid Seren a lot because he was not a Pacheco fan. But if a guy's running a 4.37 40 and he's 220 pounds, like, you can use him in some way if you can teach him how to run the football. And you saw that in that game. He was running through people.
Yeah, he was.
And so they haven't had that dimension in this offense since Kareem Hunt was here. And so I don't know if it's so much that he's pushing Edwards-Helaire because I think their skill sets are different. I think that in a perfect world, they probably can complement each other pretty well. You know, if you're able to get 60 yards out of one guy and 80 out of another and maybe whatever, 4 or 5 catches out of it, I think that's a positive for the Chiefs. But, yeah, they clearly like the guy. They clearly had this game marked as an opportunity to get him going and to showcase what he could do. And I thought he really established himself as a weapon for them. And he's kind of, nobody else in that running back room brings that skill set. And you start talking about short yardage situations, goal line stuff. He should be a part of those packages.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been impressed, actually, with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, his ability. Like, he doesn't usually go down on first contact. It usually seems to take a couple guys to get him down. He breaks tackles relatively well, but he breaks them in a different way, right? Like Pacheco runs through people, you know? I mean, that is a different – because Edwards-Helaire is not big enough to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And they call plays differently for him.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're running the ball – you know, sideways, east-west, that's not his skill set.
Yeah.
That's not his strength, you know. Mm-hmm. And so when he's in there, I thought they run more of the RPO stuff, more sideline to sideline stuff. And you saw in that game when they gave opportunities to run downhill, he ran downhill well. Mm-hmm. Because he's not a shifty guy. He's not super explosive. I just think when Pacheco's in there, there's certain things he can do. And maybe because of his limitations – they call plays specifically to fit into what they know he can do, as opposed to trying to be more expansive with him. I don't see a world where Pacheco is a starting running back and Edwards-Helaire isn't, at least this season, isn't a major player in what they want to do offensively. But I do see a situation playing out where they can help each other be better.
So the Chiefs, as I mentioned, have the number 2 offense in the NFL. Point wise, you know who's number 1?
Oh yeah, Motown. I know he's got the worst defense in the league too.
Does
which
I mean
is hard, which that we haven't seen that in a long time. 2018, right? Go back to Chiefs 2018.
Yeah, yeah.
We can put them up, or we can give them up.
I mean, did you think that was going to be the Lions this year?
No. I thought they'd be better offensively because they've got a good offensive coordinator and Goff, and he have a good feel for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you know they've got a really good offensive line. They got 3 first round picks, and they've got some skill guys who are underrated. The thing about what they're doing defensively is they want to play a lot of man coverage, and so they want to get up in your face and they want to pressure you. They want to pressure you with their blitz packages and with their front four. It's why they've got Aiden Hutchinson. But it's a risky defense to play if you can't be consistent. And so what you've seen is a lot of teams taking advantage of big play opportunities. And look, they could easily have won their first game against Philadelphia. That was like a 38-35 game.
Mm-hmm.
Could have easily won this game against Seattle. That was 48-45. Seattle had scored 47 points in their first 3 games.
Yeah.
And they got 48.
Yeah.
On Sunday with Geno Smith at quarterback.
Goff versus Smith being a shootout. We all had that happening, right?
Shootout, yeah. Yeah, all these lower scoring games, all these teams running the football more. You know, there's way more teams running the football now than in years past, and the biggest, most explosive game is Geno Smith and Jared Goff.
What do you make of the fact that Geno Smith has better stats across the board than Russell Wilson 4 games into the season?
I think it has a lot to do with coaching. You know, I think in Seattle, when Russ was there, Pete Carroll knew what he had to do, knew how he wanted to play, and knew how he wanted to fit the quarterback into that approach. And Geno Smith, who is less talented than Russell Wilson, is at a point in his career where he's even said this. He said he understands that back earlier in his career, he wanted to take shots and be aggressive and, you know, do all that stuff young quarterbacks want to do. And now he understands that taking care of the football can give you longevity in his career and not make the Alex Smith route. Let me just be safe. Let me just make the plays I need to make and let my defense. Now their defense sucks too, mm-hmm. but I think with Russ, it's, and I think they're still trying to figure out what their identity is in Denver, mm-hmm. offensively. Defensively they have one, but offensively they brought him in. The coach came from Green Bay where he had Aaron Rodgers. And I talked to the coach in the preseason. He was like, we want to be able to throw the football down the field, not dink and dunk and do all this stuff. Well, that sounds great until you're getting defended. And at the end of the day, Russell Wilson is a quarterback who plays better with a strong run game and where he can play action fake and get out on the move and improvise a little bit. They just lost Javonte Williams to a season-ending injury. Melvin Gordon is dropping the football every time. Every game he plays, he's got a fumble now. And so I think they could be a lot like what the Chiefs did last week. They should be more like that. Let's run it consistently. Let's get our 30 carries. Let's let our quarterback throw for 250. And let's let our defense, you know, get things done for us. That's how I look at it. Russell Wilson is probably being exposed and not being as much of a elite quarterback as we once thought.
Is he – because I remember this has been a conversation that's stirred emotions in this studio before this conversation of what Russell Wilson is.
Yeah.
Is it that he's getting exposed a little bit in terms of what you said, that, you know, he's obviously better with the run game and all that? Has he lost a little bit? Like, has he lost a step? And if he's not as athletic, he can't. I've heard some people make that comment that, hey, now that he's not as able to scramble around and make plays with his legs, that's a huge part of his game because he's an undersized quarterback and all that. Do you buy that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some of that. You know, I haven't had that many conversations with people around the league mm-hmm. to that effect. I just think, you know, I was in Philadelphia last week talking to Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni about what they do, and Sirianni made a great point about the development of Jalen Hurts and how he's seeing things faster and, you know, processing quicker and getting the ball out quickly. And that's completing his evolution as a quarterback. But he said also part of this is we know what he likes. We know what we can call for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That works for him. I it feels like the Broncos coaching staff isn't really that certain about what Russell Wilson likes and what works for him. And so they're trying to create this quarterback who is deserving of this big contract they gave him and is supposed to bring them a Super Bowl, instead of just saying, hey, this is what we do. It's what you do well. Let's go back and do that. I mean, when Alex Smith came here, Andy Reid spent a lot of time looking at college tape, looking at 49ers tape, trying to see, okay, what is this guy's – what's his bread and butter? What can I run with him? And sometimes when you have a quarterback that has a championship, that has Pro Bowls, who's been in the MVP conversation, you feel like, okay, just go make us a winner. And that's great when it's Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, but Russell Wilson is not those guys. And so he just can't come in here and say, I'm running – those guys walked into the into their team and said, we're running my offense. We're running the offense that fits, that I like, that we're doing. These are the plays I want called. And the coaches acquiesce to that. And I think with Denver, I think there's probably a little too much of that. If you really got down and got people to tell you the truth, there's probably a little too much of them trying to make Russell be a star there as opposed to, hey, what's what? How are we going to win games with this guy?
So you said that the Broncos have an identity on defense. I've got a follow-up question on that that we'll get to, because the upcoming opponent for the Chiefs, the Raiders, just ran for over 200 yards on that defense. We'll have to talk about whether or not that's more of a reflection of what the Raiders are bringing to town on Monday, or that Broncos defense that Jeff was talking about as well. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We got Jeff Chedea in studio. It's Raider Week for the Kansas City Chiefs. You mentioned, Jeff, that the Broncos have an identity on defense. That Broncos team lost to the Raiders, who got their first win of the season. Although, to go back to the point you've been making about the parity in the league, the Raiders are, you know, this close to having a, what, 3-1 record? So
like
I don't
9 points, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, overtime, a 2-point loss, you know, it's been close. But they go out, they get their first win, and they did it on the ground. I mean, they ran the ball against the Broncos. Let me see here. Let me make sure I get the numbers right. 38 carries for 212 yards. Now, is that a reflection of the Broncos' run defense, or is that a reflection of a Raiders team that's coming to town that's going to be looking to assert their will on the ground as well against this Chiefs defense?
Well, I think it's more Raiders.
Yeah.
I think it's I watched a lot of that game, and they really got Josh Jacobs going. And I almost feel as if what you're seeing here, and it's not going to go back to 1972 where you're going to have Miami Dolphins, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers type stuff going on, like guys rushing 70 times a game. But there is a little bit of a trend going on here where you're seeing more and more teams leaning on the run game and trying to attack defenses with that run. Because there's been so much, you see it here, too high safety looks all over the league. Teams are stocking up on DBs and trying to win with coverage. There's more light boxes out there. You're just seeing more teams go out there and say, we're going to have 5-6 DBs on the field, or, you know, that maybe that 5th or 6th guy is going to be, you know, probably a bigger safety type guy, a Dan Sorensen type guy to help on the run game. And you're just seeing more coaches saying, okay, if we're going to see that, we're running the football. And so you saw the Raiders do it. You've seen the Giants do it to great success. The Bengals, they've gotten Joe Mixon more involved.
The Giants were going wildcat for an entire drive because the quarterbacks were out and they moved the ball.
That's right. They're moving the ball, doing it. the Eagles, Miles Sanders had a huge day at 27 carries. The Falcons, quietly at 2-2, they ran for 200 yards last week, and Cordarrelle Patterson, their best player, was hurt. And so, you know, it's not just the teams like Baltimore or Tennessee anymore who are doing it. It's teams who are saying either our quarterback isn't strong enough, our offensive line's having issues. The Chiefs did the same thing. You know, I just think there's a lot to be made by running the football right now effectively and consistently. And so the Raiders surely came into the season probably thinking, oh, we got Devontae Adams, we got Darren Waller, we got Hunter Renfrow, and Derek Carr is a good quarterback. We're going to be lighting it up and throwing the football over the place. And, okay, well, the defense ain't that great. Offensive line still ain't that great. And so how can we offset that? Let's try to control line of scrimmage. Let's try to get Josh Jacobs going. You know, they got another guy, the kid from Georgia they got there, Zamir White, who's a good running back. So, yeah, I fully anticipate them coming in here doing the same thing to try to get a win.
So the a big takeaway from this past couple of weeks with the Chiefs is the Colts game is proof that the letdown game really does exist in the NFL, that even though they're pros, they can still lack concentration on a given day or not be as turned up as they need to be. And then the Bucs game proves that when you are turned up and when you have that little chip on your shoulder, you can play a lot better. Do you agree with those two statements or no?
I'm not a letdown. I mean, in college, yeah. I think you see letdown games in college because kids are kids. Mm-hmm. And they don't, you know, there's a lot going on in their lives emotionally and psychologically. And I think at this level, it's more so that everybody's even to a certain extent. I mean, even it's hard for people to really grasp that. But it's just the difference between winning and losing in this league is so slim. The margin is so slim. So for me, I don't see last week as a letdown game. I see it as a game where Chiefs made some mistakes, Colts played better, Colts win. I mean, there's going to be games. Chiefs have had games like that all throughout the Patrick Mahomes era that you forget about. It's not just because, oh, you look at the schedule and so-and-so's coming. I've never seen an NFL player who's talked that way.
Yeah.
Oh, we got Buffalo this week or we got Tampa this week. Now we really got to. You know, now maybe if you're playing somebody who's really lousy, like
well, we thought the Colts were really lousy. I mean,
but they were
just
supposed
got
to be good,
yeah,
though.
But they just got their butts kicked by Jacksonville. We didn't know Jacksonville was any good at that time.
Yeah, but you know you they know? Have talent. It's not like you're sitting there saying they don't have good players over there. I mean, you know they actually have players who are going to the Pro Bowl. They got best running back in the league. That'd be that's what I'm saying. I don't think that the coaches. I know they're not giving that message out there, and I know this team. The guys who've been around long enough understand that anybody can beat you. I just think that's a cop out. I mean, you just got beat by a team that wasn't as good as you. That happens all the time in the NFL. It's not just because of something you didn't do.
But it does. We do agree that they were a little more turned up for the Bucs game, right?
Yeah.
Like they were turned. Maybe if that wasn't a letdown against the Colts, there was a build up or something.
Yeah.
So the question now, the reason I ask it is because now. You look, Raiders are a rivalry game and all that, but they're 1-3. The Bills are right around the corner. So you just got done playing a team that beat you in the Super Bowl, the number one defense and all that stuff. And then the next game after the Raiders is the Bills game. Is, in your mind, any danger at all of this being one of those quote-unquote trap games for the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football, of all things?
I don't think so. I mean, I think either can they lose the game? Sure.
Right.
But if they lose the game, I'm not going to say that it was a trap game.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know. I mean, you're around these guys. You know what it's like. I guarantee probably half these guys in the locker room don't even know who's on the schedule.
Right.
until it's going to that week.
Yeah, we're
past
playing
couple
the Raiders
weeks.
This
yeah,
week.
Exactly.
Okay,
not
yeah.
looking. Oh, we got Titans in. We got 49ers here and Bengals.
Yeah.
So they're looking at what's coming up that week, and they're looking at what's being given to them in terms of film and preparation. So. I think if anything, you might see them. I don't even know if this could happen because it's a new year. Like they had their way with the Raiders last year in both games. The week year before that, it was they got beat by them once, and they had a close game in out there in Vegas. And so my sense of it is, you're playing on Monday night. You have an extra day of preparation. You're trying. You know, every game you play in this division is going to matter. So to me, it's like. No matter how you're approaching, I don't know if that extra motivation they probably got from the Shaq Barrett comments. I don't know what the boost was in terms of the overall result, you know. But I do know you're going to get a boost when you're playing a division opponent who you know very well, and you know that the AFC is stacked. You know that you can't afford to drop division games, and this is only the second one you're playing, right? So you got four more. Games in this division. If you can get a second win in this division this early, it's going to mean a ton for you. So, yeah, to me, if you're looking ahead at Buffalo and saying that's the big matchup, because what, as much as, and I know every week we come in here and talk about the game and what's happening and what it means and draw these grand conclusions, end of the day, it's one game in the NFL.
You know, Chiefs got their ass kicked by Buffalo in the regular season last year.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I mean,
exactly. So, if they lose to Buffalo, it's not going to mean they drop 10 points in the rankings. You know, can't be in the college football playoff. Yeah. It just means that they lost to Buffalo that week. But
yeah.
So I think they'll be up for this game because it's the Raiders.
So I guess the way I look at it, you know, like you said, being around these guys, but being around professional teams in general, I look at the Chiefs in this run that they're in over the really during the entire Mahomes-Reed era. It's like the Jordan meme of I took that personal. Like they got to find some things every week because they're on primetime all the time now. Yeah. That every game's a big game. Like there's a reason you can look at like the Buccaneers. They're playing against the team that beat them in the Super Bowl. The Chargers, that's the up-and-coming team in the division that's trying to knock them off. The Bills are coming, and they had this amazing playoff game against the Bills. Like, every week, the Chiefs have a big game on their hands. And to me, like, teams that are at that level, you gotta find something that keeps, you know, that keeps that edge a little bit, you know? And I feel like that's kind of – and I don't know if the Chiefs look at it the way they talk and everything – is maybe that Bills game was a little bit of a reminder, the Colts game, as if you're even missing a little bit of an edge in this league, that can be the difference between losing to any team in this league.
Yeah, yeah. I think sometimes there's this sense that if you're where the Chiefs have been in the last 4 years, or you're where Buffalo is now, or where the Patriots were when they were in their heyday, that, oh, my God, this team is way up here. Like, if you're giving them a score, like, they're at a 98, and everybody else they're playing is at an 80. So everybody else has got to bring – they got to do all these amazing things to win. And in reality, most teams in the NFL are between, like, 90 and whatever, 85.
Yeah. I mean,
that's maybe – use the Madden, you know, rankings. Like, that's kind of where they're at. And so, yeah, if you have guys who are banged up, if you have turnovers, if you do things that allow yourself to lose an advantage you may have in your roster – Chargers in week two against the Chiefs. You drop a couple of interceptions. Well, guess what? That's going to cost you a game. Mm-hmm. That's enough to cost you a game in this league.
Right.
And so, yeah.
Or
so
you keep a guy on the field that's trying to sub off and run hurry up. Yep. That's the difference in the game.
That's the difference.
That pick six right there, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And so where the Chiefs have really been great under Andy Reid is that they recognize that all this stuff matters. So let's take a timeout and talk about it. Let's not try to throw a ball into the end zone at halftime of the Colts game because if you want to do it, you think you can do it. Like there's situations that we want to not put ourselves into. Or go back to the AFC Championship game where it's like you want to go for it right before halftime and you don't make that play. It's a big factor.
Mm-hmm.
If you make it, it's a huge thing for you. So yeah, I do feel like there is, there's a lot – teams are closer than what we think, than what we realize, and that the idea of – I think it's hard to go through a 17-game season for every team.
Right.
Just because of the grind of it, because of the impact on your body. Football's a hard sport to prepare for. It's a hard sport to get through.
And so, mentally and physically.
Mentally and physically. And so you look at – if you saw the Rams midway through the second half of last season, and they lost three games in a row, and there were some bad games, there were some rough games – you would have said that team's not winning a championship. You know, if you had seen the Niners in the first half of the season last year, that team's not making an NFC championship game. If you had seen the Bengals the start of the year, your Bengals, you'd have been like, that team couldn't play with the Chiefs. There's no way. No way it could happen. No way they could get to the AFC championship game.
See them barely beat the Raiders in the playoff game, like almost lucked their way past the Raiders in the playoff game.
Yeah. And so I think we end up giving teams or players or narratives more credit than what they're due. I mean, ultimately, all these games are decided by four or five plays.
What have you seen from Josh McDaniels in his second stint as a head coach?
Well, he's got one win.
Yeah.
That's what I've seen. But I don't think, to be honest with you, from afar, I've not been around him except for being at the Combine back in Indy in February. It feels like he's trying to be more like Josh McDaniels instead of doing a Bill Belichick impression.
Yeah.
Because I was around him a lot when he was in Denver, and that's what – he was very guarded and very gruff, and this is how I want to do things, and I'm going to clash with the players. And you don't hear that stuff anymore with the Raiders. I think he's trying to do more. I think he recognizes that, okay, I'm a smart guy, but the players win the games. And so I need to make sure I got a good relationship with the quarterback – with the new receiver coming in. I got to, you know, take care of the people, like feed Josh Jacobs. It feels like he's doing more things to that I think matter in 2022. I think they're a better team. I heard Bo Richter on right before I got here because I was screaming down the Metcalf to get here, and I was hoping he was still talking. And he made it, you know, at the end he said that the Raiders are a better team than what they've shown, just as the Colts are a better team than what they showed, and what they've been showing. They have talent. They can beat you. And if the Chiefs take that for granted, if they feel like, oh, you know, to your point, if they think, oh, this team's 1-3, they're not going anywhere. I think we always talk about 0-2. Can you get to a Super Bowl or make the playoffs or 1-3? All those. I don't think those stats matter as much this year. I think you can be in a hole, but I saw a really bad Pittsburgh Steelers team last year at the end of the season. It looked like they were dead in the water when they got gutted by this team, and they wound up playing in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So I saw a really bad Philadelphia Eagles team that was going nowhere when the Chiefs played them in the first half of the season or week four, whatever it was, and they were 9-8 in the playoffs. And so I just feel like that Raiders team is good enough to be a playoff team, and if they can figure it out fast, they can be a playoff team.
So the stud wide receiver that they added, we haven't really talked about him as much, but Devontae Adams, he did have 9 catches on 13 targets, 101 yards in this game against Denver last weekend. What type of a matchup problem is that for the Chiefs? You know, Devontae Adams in this game on Monday night.
Well, it's big. I mean, McDuffie can come back now, right? Is he healthy?
Yeah,
to be
I don't know what the story is on whether or not he's going to return.
Out.
Yeah,
we'll find out on Wednesday. Yeah. But he's off. He's past the 4-game IR, so I doubt he would be playing right away, you know, as a starter. Usually Andy takes about a week to see how guys are. But
and a rookie coming off an injury going up against Devontae Adams. Yeah. I mean, I like McDuffie a lot, but
– yeah. Well, for me, it's in – again, I hate to keep referencing my podcast, but we had this conversation about Tyreek Hill, his impact not being with the Chiefs. When you have a receiver like that, he dictates coverage.
Yeah,
you come into a game as a secondary. You got to decide how are we going to play this guy.
We know where he is on every snap,
and we need two guys to deal with him. And the problem with that, you start adding an extra guy to defending him. Well, now Darren Waller can create some problems for you. And so what I've seen from them, teams playing them a lot, you see a lot of bracket coverage for both those guys. You know, there's certain coverage you can play, not to get too deep into the weeds, where you can actually have safety help on both those guys. I mean, and you have that many extra bodies that you're allocating towards receivers. Well, it affects your blitz package. You know, affects your ability to disguise things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the challenge the Chiefs are going to have, because they don't have one guy on their roster who can cover Devontae. Nobody does, really.
Right.
Who can cover him one-on-one and win all the time, win the majority of the time. So, yeah, it's going to affect their blitz packages. It's going to put more pressure on their defensive front, their defensive line, to create pressure on Derek Carr without the help of the blitz. Look, you saw, even though it was a blowout game, you saw what Tom Brady and Mike Evans did when they wanted to do it. They went right down the field, you know. And so that's what Devontae Adams can do. And then you add in Darren Waller, who I don't think there's anybody on the Chiefs who can cover Darren Waller, just size-wise. You know, you look at that big guy the Colts have playing tight end who caught that touchdown pass against Thornhill. That's a matchup nightmare for them.
Well, and if you're going to use Willie Gay Jr. in coverage, because that's supposed to be one of his biggest strengths, he's not available. So that's a big question, too. All right, we'll be back to wrap things up with Jeff Chedia right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Okay, we'll wrap things up with Jeff Chedia here. And I'm looking through, we're on to week 5 now. Thursday night football, Colts and Broncos. Colts are 1-2-1, Broncos are 2-2. What do we think? What are your, Denver's a 3.5-point favorite at home.
That sounds right to me. Broncos, look, they lost Javonte Williams, but Jonathan Taylor is battling an ankle injury. He hasn't really done much since week 1. And until he gets going, I just can't pick the Colts to really to win games. So, yeah, I go with the Broncos in that one.
Okay, so a couple games I'm just kind of cherry-picking a couple here. Chargers versus Browns. Both these teams are 2-2. And this game's in Cleveland. I don't know if Brownie the Elf's going to be on the field still in Cleveland.
Yeah, it's an ugly logo, isn't it?
Yeah. It's funny.
It's a funny logo.
Yeah. So what do you think of Chargers and Browns? Because, like I said, both these teams are 2-2.
Chargers, I feel like they've got they're still, even with their injuries, the more talented team. Justin Herbert's played pretty well, and he seems – just watching him last week against the Texans, he looked like he was throwing the football pretty well, and he said he felt better. So, you know, it's the Browns' defense has not been playing that great, and Jacoby Brissett still, even though he's done a good job, still a backup. I take Chargers in that one.
Okay, I'm interested in this one. Dolphins versus Jets, considering everything that's going on with the Dolphins, it sounds like Teddy Bridgewater's going to play. They've ruled out Tua this time around, and the Jets actually have their young quarterback back in the fold, and the Jets are 2-2.
Yeah.
What I mean, do Jets give Miami a game here?
They could, but the Dolphins' defense is really, really stout, and when you got a really good secondary, now they got banged up a little bit, so I don't know what their injury situation is. That Bengals game, they lost – I think Xavier Howard got banged up, and Byron Jones wasn't even playing. So if their secondary is still banged up, I can see it be a closer game. But at this point, I would even with Bridgewater playing, he's a veteran who's played a lot, I think he gets it done.
Sunday Night Football, Bengals-Ravens, both teams 2-2.
Man, Ravens are in dark place right now, and it just feels like – I'm sure they want to have some get back for what happened against the Bengals last year. Joe Burrow threw for almost 1,000 yards against them in two games. But I like the Bengals. I feel like they're starting to round into form. Again, their offensive line took a lot of heat, but quick game, running the football has helped them out a lot, and they still have Joe Burrow back there, man. So I'll take them to win this one.
Okay, and then finally, get your prediction on Monday Night Football. The Raiders come into town. The Chiefs are a 7-point favorite. At home against the Raiders. What do you think of that?
That sounds about where I think it would land. I mean, the Chiefs, to me, are that's the most dominant they've played in a long time. And, and I say dominant, I mean beating up on a team that's a good team, not like beating up on Pittsburgh that's just kind of, you know, just kind of falling apart. So I think they maintain that. I think they get the win. It'll be closer than people realize. I would take them 28-20 in this game.
Chiefs 28-20. You got that, Marco? You got your DraftKings?
That covers, but doesn't hit the over. That one's at 51.
Wow.
But no, that does not cover my 14 or 13 points that I bought for this one.
Oh, you Hey, I like Marco's not backing off. You know, he bought 13 against the Bucks, didn't quite work out for him, so he's going back to
Dude,
it.
Dude,
you know?
Derek Carr only threw to 5 different people in the game against the Broncos, and 3 of them were receivers. So
yeah.
They're really missing Hunter Renfrow right now.
I tell you what, I think Marco's just like a lighter, more clean-shaven version of Jake now. You guys, it must be part of the job interview. Do you gamble?
Yeah, are you a swashbuckling gambler? I like it, Marco. I like the confidence.
Come hang out Saturday at the sports book with me, Jeff. We'll put some slip.
I can't walk into a sports book.
That's right.
I'm not allowed.
The NFL's taking all this money from all these gambling places.
That's
you can't
right.
walk
I
into
can't
one.
I can't walk
right.
into one. Boy,
okay.
If I walked into one, right. you'd be some alarms going off.
Controversy. You got him.
Yeah.
How you liking the Jayhawks again, college game day, you know?
Rambling towards the college football playoff,
look
aren't
out.
They?
Look out.
Are you going to be out there, Lawrence?
I'm going to Lawrence, baby.
Have
see
fun.
What
hey,
happens.
5-0.
Hey.
Hats off. Respect. It's a lot more fun when you're winning football games this time of year, isn't it?
It's fun when you just feel like your team has a chance. You know, like each Saturday I feel like, oh, my team's got a chance to win. I'm going to watch this game.
Right.
And
yeah.
I feel that way this week. They got a chance.
Yeah, well, they got more than a chance, I think. They win the game.
Oh, there we go. Jeff Chedid is taking the Jayhawks. We will see you tomorrow morning right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.